Okay, hey everyone. So yeah, Cheryl said she listens to Regina Dawn Akers a minimum of an hour a day. I listen to Muji, not quite so much. I think I listen to Muji probably a minimum of 10 minutes a day. But what I do is I start my day and end my day with Muji. And it just depends on how long the excerpt is. As to whether it's, you know, a 5-minute excerpt, a 10-minute excerpt, a 20-minute excerpt, as to how many minutes per day I'm listening. But I start and end my day with Muji every day. So, oh yeah, Cheryl has written now, as she says, I listen to an hour RDA CD a day. But of course, I'm sure she's giggling. Hopefully she recognizes that RDA means recommended daily allowance. Yeah, but you know, it's good that we all know what it is that we are to be listening to, or what it is that we are to be doing, and that we also allow that to change, you know, when it's time to change. I'm glad that Cheryl is enjoying the single quiet thoughts in NTI. I know from my own experience how helpful they are. And I am enjoying right now Muji, which happens to be where I'm at. So, we are here right now for Holy Spirit Guides. This is the time each week that is set aside to look at the personal messages that I received from Spirit to be helpful to me. And specifically right now we're in that time frame when I was joined with Laurent. And so the messages that were given to be helpful to both of us. And the next two messages, both of which come from November 2007, are very short. So where we just spent the last 3 weeks on one message, maybe tonight we'll get through two messages. What I'm going to do is give you a link to the first message for tonight. This is actually a PDF. This is one of those messages that for some reason I never posted on reginadonakers.com. So there you go. You can open up the PDF file. And what I would like to do before I look at the message and begin reading it is I would like to say a prayer. So if y'all would join me, I would appreciate that. Holy Spirit, I close my eyes in gratitude, always ready to say thank you. But what I love is that that which I am to say thank you for is given when I close my eyes. So I never know what I'm going to say thank you for. I wait to be told. And when I close my eyes just now, I heard or felt the prompt to be grateful for emptiness. Sometimes we feel like we don't know emptiness. Sometimes we feel like our experience is too full. It's full of emotions. It's full of mind thoughts. It's full of what appears to be worldly distractions, problems that need to be resolved. But what now, right now, what I am recognizing is that all of this that seems to be fullness is within emptiness. Without the emptiness, there could not be the fullness. When the fullness is taken away, the emptiness is. But when the fullness is there, the emptiness is also. Therefore, the emptiness is constant. In spirit, it seems right now I am being prompted to say thank you for the constant, for the emptiness. Whether we feel we are aware of it or not, is irrelevant. We can still be grateful for it. We don't have to feel that we know an experience directly in order to be grateful for it. And somehow in being grateful for it, we place our willingness in the direction of it. Amen. All right. So I gave you all a link, but I do see some more people popped into the room. So I'm giving the link again. This is a PDF file from November 9th, 2007. It's a fairly short message, at least compared to the one that we looked at over the last 3 weeks. And this message is called Ask from Knowing. I actually remembered that this was coming. Last week when we talked, I remember mentioning that Spirit was about to go into a period of talking to Laurent and me about our intention or our motive for asking. I mentioned that as we are maturing on the spiritual path, if you think of Holy Spirit as like a teacher, the teacher doesn't continue to give, the early readers to us anymore. Like when you're learning to read, you get these early readers that say things like, "Go, Jack, go," right? The teacher isn't giving us those early readers anymore because we're ready for something more. And so the teacher is giving us more. And really, what the teacher is focusing us on in this moreness is looking at our motives, looking at our reason for the choices we're making, what's underlying, what's moving us. And that's true even in coming to him with questions. And that's what this particular message is about. And the title I gave it, but the title of this message is Ask from Knowing. Laurent and I had probably had a discussion on the phone. He was in Paris at this time, but we would often have a discussion and a lot of questions would come up, and then I would go to Spirit with those questions. But I got to a point where I quit asking the specific questions. I knew that just from the conversation, I knew that Spirit knew the conversation, knew what the questions were, and that I could just go to Spirit and get answers. So I don't ask specific questions, although there are specific questions in the air, specific questions in my mind and Laurent's mind. But notice I said, Holy Spirit, you know our questions. What will you share with us? And here's Holy Spirit's answer. Most of your questions come from fear. They come from the part of your mind that fears. This is why you have been told that your questions come from the ego. They come from the thought that you are not master. They come from the thought that you are victim. I ask you to look at your questions again. Notice that what I say is true. Notice what you are teaching yourself when you allow yourself to ask these questions. Then remember that you are master. Put your mind back into this place of knowing. As you are realizing that you are master and you can never be victim, how will you ask your questions now? As you ask from this place of knowing, you may realize you know the answers. For knowing does know. You do not know when you ask as victim, because you are asking from the part of your mind that has chosen not to know. When you ask from knowing, knowing will appear. So I'm going to stop right there, because I fully understand what Spirit is talking about. And It's important. I don't know how to say this. That's why I'm pausing so long. You know, sometimes it's difficult to find the words. When we ask our questions from a strong sense of lack, a sense of, I don't have that knowledge in me, I have to get that knowledge from something outside of me, we experience that sense of lack. And we experience that sense of lack as what I am. Now think about that for just a second. Think about experiencing the sense of lack not as what I don't have, but as what I am. And just notice how lacking that idea is. Notice how you can never be enough if you are lack. You can never be good enough. You can never be whole. You can never be complete. And when we ask questions from that belief in the mind, which, by the way, is a completely false belief, even if we get an answer, we hold on to that belief. So the answer, at best, is temporarily satisfactory. We may be excited to temporarily have an answer to our question, but because we've allowed ourselves to hold on to the belief that I am lack, we soon find ourselves in that position again, that position of needing something we think we don't have. And, well, we can never be fully satisfied from that position. Now, it is true that all of us, I think, go through states of not knowing. We may not know the answer to a specific metaphysical question. We may not understand something that we're reading, you know, in A Course in Miracles, or today somebody sent me something that Ramana Maharshi said they didn't understand. They wanted me to tell them what it meant. You know, we may read something we don't understand. We all experience not knowing. And that's okay. Believe it or not, not knowing is not exactly the same as lack. I can not know something and at the same time know that that knowing exists and that it will become available to me, or I will become aware of it when it's time to know. And there's no lack in that. There's more of a feeling of, it's just not time now for me to know. When it's time for me to know, I will know. There's a fullness in that, as opposed to a lack. And you know, in my own life, there are lots of things that I don't know. I mean, my God, it's impossible to know everything. So there are lots of things I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're going to be doing, you know, an hour from now. And my daughter's asking, you know, Mom, what are we going to do? And my answer is, I don't know. But I always know that by the time an hour from here gets here, I will know what we're going to do. You know, I always know that I'll know what I'm supposed to know. So you see, there's no lack in that. So what Spirit is telling Laurent and me is that we are asking questions from that sense of lack, that sense of, I don't have it, I can't get it myself, it's not going to come to me, I need it from something outside of me. So we're perceiving Spirit as separate from us. And Spirit is alerting us to this so that we can get ourselves out of this mind frame and into, I do know, I just don't know now, which is different. And the truth is, if you write with Spirit, which is what I was doing. You can ask a question, knowing that consciously you don't know, but the answer is about to come because you do know. In other words, you can ask a question without that sense of lack. So it's not the asking of questions that we're being talked to about. It's that sense of lack that's behind our asking that we're being talked to about. Notice Spirit says in this third paragraph, as you ask from this place of knowing. So see, there's still an asking going on. And if I'm asking, well then an answer has to come, which means in the moment that I asked, I didn't know. But I knew there was an answer. I knew the answer was within me, and I knew the asking would pull the answer up, prompt the answer into consciousness. That's different than a sense of lack. As you ask from this place of knowing, you may realize you know the answers, for knowing does know. One thing that Phoebe, what's Phoebe's last name? Is it Phoebe Lauren, I think? One thing that Dove said that she said is that the answers come even before she's finished asking the question. I've experienced that so many times. Like I will sit down with Spirit, with my notebook, and start writing out a question. I only write like the first two or three words and the answer starts coming. And I have to pause the answer just so I can finish getting the question written out because I want the question documented. But the answer is coming so fast, I have to kind of like put it on pause. Let me finish asking the question. Okay, now unpause and let the answer come. It's just right there. The answer's right there. It's ready to come. The asking isn't lack. The asking is just the prompt for the answer to appear, for the answer to be born into consciousness. It's just the question is just a prompt. So if you ask your questions from this knowing that there is an answer, that the answer will show itself, you're only asking the question so that the answer will appear. It's like you're inviting the answer into awareness. That's completely different than asking from a sense of lack, from a sense of, I really don't know. You know, I this lacking, less than, missing person, you know. So again, as you ask from this place of knowing, you may realize you know the answers, for knowing does know. You do not know when you ask as a victim or from a position of lack, because you are asking from the part of your mind that has chosen not to know. When you ask for knowing, knowing will appear. And again, don't be confused. That doesn't mean that you already consciously know the answer, because you wouldn't even be asking if you consciously knew the answer. It's more of an attitude of knowing, or a trust of knowing, even though it's not consciously known. And when you ask, knowing that an answer will be given, because the knowing is there, it rises into consciousness and you have it. And there never was a sense of lack, not even in the asking of the question. Now, Holy Spirit continues. Knowing also knows there is a deeper knowing. When you ask your questions from knowing, you may notice a desire to know more deeply or more fully that which you already know. That is asking as a younger brother to an older one, but asking within the recognition of sameness. It is only the maturity that seems to differ, but both the asker and the one asked are the same. Both are princes born of the same father. I posted a Muji video this morning. Something about, I think the title of it was Be the Cow Who Jumps Over the Moon. So if you didn't see that on my Facebook page, you can go look that up on YouTube. Be the Cow That Jumps Over the Moon. And what appears to be happening in that particular YouTube is there's a man who, from what he says, wasn't really into spirituality or anything. And then one day he just popped into what most of us call enlightenment. He just popped. He had what we often call a spontaneous awakening. And having not been on a spiritual path, although he loved it immensely, enjoyed it beyond words, didn't exactly know what it was or what to do with it or how to define it, you could say. And somehow he happened to see Muji on a YouTube. Some woman showed him Muji on a YouTube, and he saw Muji and he recognized that Muji was talking about what he was experiencing. And so he went immediately. I mean, he'd only had this awakening experience for a month. So he went immediately to Muji. And what he said was he wanted Muji to confirm for him that he wasn't going crazy. And it's a very nice little chat that he's having with Muji. And it's exactly like an elder brother talking to a younger brother. In fact, Muji tells him that he basically has been born again. And that he's like a baby right now, cradled in the arms of God. And that that's okay. That's perfect for him to be there now. But Muji tells him that he will gain more maturity. He will learn how to function with this new way of seeing. How to relate with this new way of seeing. But this man goes to Muji. He's so innocent, you know, and he's so happy. And he's asking his elder brother, you know, what is this? You know, what is this? Am I okay? Even though he thinks he's okay, still he has to ask, am I okay? Well, that's what this paragraph tells us, that knowing, this man already knew, he wasn't really coming from lack, he knew his experience. Knowing also knows there is a deeper knowing, and he saw that deeper knowing in Muji, right? It says, when you ask your questions from knowing, you may notice a desire to know more deeply or more fully that which you already know. That is asking as a younger brother to an older one, but asking within the recognition of sameness. And again, if you see that YouTube, that video, you will see that both Muji and this man are looking at each other from a recognition of sameness. It's clear as a bell, at least it was to me. The man has Muji on no pedestal, and Muji has himself on no pedestal. But yet, the man has questions and Muji has the answers. You know, but there's no lack, there's no difference, there's no one above and one below. It doesn't exist. So this is asking as a younger brother to an older one, but asking within the recognition of sameness. It is only the maturity that seems to differ. Again, you see that clearly in this video. The only difference between Muji and this man is the maturity. It's like Muji says, he's like a baby. Some of you know that I'm reading Jan Fraser's When Fear Fell Away. And that's exactly what happens in that book. When she first has her experience that she calls fear falling away, she's like a baby. And as we're reading her book, we're watching the beginning of her maturity. If you've read Byron Katie's A Thousand Names for Joy, she talks about the same thing, that when you first start, it's like you're born again. It's like being a baby. And there's a maturing process that needs to happen. So we can know, we can have a sense of knowing, and still seek a guidance that knows more deeply or knows more fully, knows with more maturity. But we're not asking something that's different from us. We're not lacking, right? We're not lacking anywhere. And Spirit ends this message by saying, ask your questions of me from this place, and notice what you already know. So notice again that Spirit is not telling Laurent and me, stop asking questions. He's just asking us to change our intention. He's saying, when you set down to ask me questions, set down knowing the answer's right here. It's already in you. It's waiting to pop up. Your question is just the prompt for that to be born now. That's it. But there is no lack. So that's the end of that particular message. And I see Laura Blue has his hand up. So Laura Blue, what have you got? Question. Sorry, people, but I do not care about not asking questions. Mood that is present at the second I ask, okay? Question. HS says, most of the questions come from fear. From where do the rest of the questions come? Oh, undoubtedly there were times when we would have asked, I know that there were times when we would have asked questions already from that sense of knowing. There were times when I knew that all I had to do was ask and the answer was appear. So there were times when I sat down in fear and lack, and then there were times when I sat down in that state of knowing. So the state of knowing was not something I had not yet experienced. So that's what he is referring to. Yeah, there were times when I was just asking. I just wanted to know, like the man in the video with Muji, just asking, but not from fear. And knowing the answer would appear. All right. I'm going to give you all another link. This is a link to reginadonacres.com, to the next message, which is called Continue with Awareness. A few weeks back or so, Holy Spirit taught us to stay in awareness. He said that was the most important thing for us to learn. In fact, I'm going back to see if I can find the name of that message. Stop to be grateful for awareness. Do y'all remember that? Stop to be grateful for awareness. And in that particular message, he told us that this was one of the most important things we could do in our process of awakening, is being grateful for our awareness. So now he's going to talk to us about awareness again. And this message is called Continue with Awareness. And it says, it's Holy Spirit starting, there is no question. You are watching the mind more. Watching with a different perspective, a different awareness. That is what I asked. Continue for now to will for awareness. To watch and be aware without judgment. And to be grateful for watching and being aware. Now I think what I'm about to talk about, you guys probably all know. So I'm preaching to the choir here, but I feel like saying it anyway. We are not being aware when we're caught up in and believing our thoughts. That's not what Holy Spirit is referring to here when he's referring to awareness. If I'm having thoughts about, what people are saying on the board, for example, and I'm getting all caught up in that and I can hardly focus on the teaching, I'm getting distracted, I'm feeling some kind of an emotional feeling in my body, I'm not being aware. But in the moment that I notice I'm doing that, in the moment I stop and pause and look at what was distracting me, what was I listening to, why was I having that emotional reaction, in that moment, I became aware. So there is a difference between watching the mind and believing the mind. And so what Spirit really wants to do is to help Laurent and me, and everyone else, become experts at watching the mind when it's active instead of believing it. And so he's giving us again a few simple little steps. First of all, he says, will for awareness. You know, just continue to, within our own mind, say, in whatever way it feels comfortable for us, I want to remember to be aware of my thoughts. Again, aware is not the same as listening to or believing. Aware is watching. I want to remember to be aware of my thoughts. And just keep reminding myself of that, right? That's going to help me to be aware instead of caught up. He says, continue for now, to will for awareness, to watch and be aware without judgment. Another little trick is that you aren't really being aware of your thoughts if you're judging yourself for them. You know, if I have a thought that I don't like so-and-so, I wish he'd go away, and then I judge myself for having that thought, I am not in awareness in that moment. But I am in awareness if I see, I don't like so-and-so, I wish he'd go away. And I'm like, I notice that thought, I see that thought. I see that. And then usually what I do, there's something that happens after I see the thought. I rest the mind, or I realize that is just a thought, it is not truth, or if I do believe it, I give my willingness not to believe it. I give my willingness to see differently, right? But looking at the thought without judgment is awareness. I see that thought that I don't like him. I see that. I'm not judging myself for it. I see it. And then he says also, be grateful for watching and being aware, right? I'm so grateful that I'm seeing these thoughts. I think, you know, based on my conversations with people, that a lot of people miss that last step about being grateful for seeing their thoughts. Instead, we seem to have this perspective, more of a perspective, that we wish the thoughts weren't there. But they are there. You know, they are there. That's like me wishing I didn't have hazel eyes. I do have hazel eyes. The thoughts are there. Wishing they weren't there is really resistance. I wish these thoughts weren't there. I wish I'd quit having these thoughts. That's resistance. And notice Spirit doesn't say here, and wish your thoughts weren't there. No. Spirit says, be grateful that you're watching and being aware of them. Be grateful that as they are going through your mind, you're in this state of watching instead of believing. Be grateful for that. He's not asking you to wish they weren't there. So continue to will for awareness. Continue to say the little prayer within yourself, I want to be aware of my thoughts. Watch them and be aware of them without judgment, no matter what those thoughts are. Because if you judge, you step out of awareness. And then be grateful to yourself for watching and being aware. Spirit says, you will begin to notice resistance in the form of, I am done. It will tell you that you have watched your mind and you are finished with seeing its tricks. It will tell you that you are now ready to do something about those tricks. You are ready to fix yourself. This thought is merely a trick in itself, a distraction, just as an illusionist uses to draw your attention away from the tricks. Do not be fooled by this sleight of hand. Your role now is to continue to notice, to continue to be aware, to continue to will for awareness, and to continue to have gratitude for awareness and willing for. These simple steps will lead you to awakening. It is not now more difficult than this. Do not be fooled into thinking it is. Well, I don't personally have a remembrance of thinking I am done. To this day, I mean, I watch my mind from that state of awareness. And to this day, I drift into not being in awareness. And when I do, I just call myself back. I've never had any thought that I recall. However, Spirit's saying that the thought may have been there, so maybe it was. But I don't recall having the thought, I'm done watching my mind. I do recall having thoughts, I wish these thoughts weren't there. I wish they would stop. I remember that. But I don't remember thinking, I'm done watching my mind. I have had the thought, I don't watch my mind enough. That's also a judgment. You know? So I've seen error judgments in my mind around mind watching. But I don't remember ever thinking that I needed to stop watching my mind. And I guess the reason I don't remember that is because of, again, what these words mean to me. For me, as long as there are thoughts, you are either watching them with awareness or you are believing them. I'm not aware of another option. And I know that believing them is a mistake. I know that believing them is going to take me quickly into lack of peace. So I still feel that I need to watch my mind with awareness. So I'm not real sure what Spirit's talking about here, because I honestly don't have the memory of having that I am done thought. Maybe it flew by and Spirit caught, nipped it in the bud, and so I didn't fall for it in a big way, and that's why I don't remember. But I do not remember I am done watching my mind. I can't even imagine that. That's how much I don't remember it. I can't even imagine that. But if Spirit's bringing it up, it must have been there to some degree, and maybe it's there for others as well. You know, who knows? But what Spirit is saying is the I am done thought, I'm done, I don't need to watch my mind anymore, that's just a thought to slip out of awareness. It's just a thought to not pay attention with awareness anymore. So, I guess that's all I have to say about that. I don't have a lot to say about it since I don't really remember the issue. I can go on to the next message. I guess I will. We have about 20 minutes left, and this short message is done. I doubt we'll finish the next message, but I can start it. Laurent, if I could have your attention, please. Not that I don't have it, but I'm not going to be here next week. And it's possible right now that I'm going to begin this message and not be able to finish it. I'm wondering if you're available if I start it to finish it up next week so we don't have a two-week break. You know, within the middle of a message. How is that for you? I'm traveling next week. Let me know. Maybe he's thinking about it. Let me know if you're available next week. Teddy says he wants to go to Sedona. That's where I'll be, to Sedona. Okay, you're available next week. Okay, super. So I'll start. And then next week you can just finish the message from where I leave off. Does that sound all right with you? All right, here we go then. Okay, perfect. So here we go. So the next message, if you are in Continue with Awareness, you can just scroll to the top of the page. You'll see Uncovering the Treasure Through the Jewels Within. You can just click on that, and that will take you to the next message. Or you can click on this link I've just given you. Uncovering the Treasure Through the Jewels Within. We did have a question, so here was our question. Oh, what do you have for the next one?
The Cyclone of Love.
She says the Cyclone of Love is next. And what is the date on that message?
November 15th, and it's a long one.
November 15th. Okay, hold on 1 second. And Laurent is saying, isn't the Cyclone of Love next? Okay, so look, Donna and Laurent are in agreement, which must mean that I'm in error. So hold on. Maybe, believe it or not, I didn't post the Cyclone of Love. Sometimes I didn't post these messages, and I'm not sure why. My best guess would be resistance. Is the date November 15th?
Yes.
Okay, I have it as a PDF file. So what I'm going to do is give you the link to the PDF file. And Laurent, I will send this to you in email later so you have it for next week. The Cyclone of Love. All right, here's a link, and he has it on his website. Okay, good, so he can give you that link next week then. Here is the Cyclone of Love. It's a PDF file dated November 15th. And again, I'll start the message, and then Laurent will finish it, or, you know, maybe. how can you post the link here? You would have to log in as admin to post the link. I can give you information later about how to log in as admin if you like, or you could give it to someone who is admin and they can post it for you. Okay, so let's look at this. The Cyclone of Love, November 15th, 2007. It does begin with a question. Through your guidance, we are beginning to become more aware of motives. So as I mentioned, this is what Spirit's been talking to Laurent and me about. And so obviously we're listening. We have seen that each idea is the offspring of its motive, and it carries hidden within it the motive that it comes from. Okay, so we notice, by the way, that we're also asking a question from a state of knowing. Do you see that? Here is what we know, right? We are aware of this. We're not lacking idiots. Or as Laurent would say, retards, you know? We're not, you know? Through your guidance, we are beginning to become more aware of motives. We have seen that each idea is the offspring of its motive, and it carries hidden within it the motive that it comes from. We realize, okay, here's our knowing, we realize that when we accept an idea as true, we also take in its motive. So we've learned all of this through our own observation, our own awareness, our own practice of what Spirit is teaching. But now, as younger brothers going to an elder brother, our question is this: what is most helpful for us in our practice today? So now that we've made these observations, we're becoming aware of this, what would be our next step, elder brother? What is most helpful to us? And the answer is, look at this. You already know my first answer to this question. So see, it's working just like Spirit said it would. Obviously, the answer is coming into my mind already, and Spirit is acknowledging that. So there's no sense of lack here. I'm asking the question, and probably even before I was done writing the question down, I was getting clarity on the answer. But I finished the scribing anyway, so we would have a record. You already know my first answer to this question. Continue to will for awareness without judgment, to feel grateful for awareness when you can see it, and to continue to have gratitude for your remembrance to will for. Ah, now I understand the I am done. I do. Thank you, Spirit, for the clarity for the remembrance. It wasn't I am done as if, I'm awake, I'm done. Not that kind of I am done. It's I've been practicing these baby steps for enough time now. I don't need to will for awareness anymore because I am becoming more aware. I don't need to feel grateful for awareness anymore because I am becoming more aware, right? So those little things that helped me get to awareness, I don't need that because I am being more aware. It was that. And Spirit is saying, that's not true. You aren't as far along as you think you are. You aren't as aware as you think you are. I still need you to do the baby steps. I still need you to continue to will for awareness. I still need you to remind yourself that you want to be aware, and I still need you to be grateful when you are aware. These, you know, steps are still important. Don't stop this routine I've given you, right? You're not ready to stop yet. So that's what he meant when he was warning about the I am done coming. He was thinking that these little bitty steps we would drop quickly within a few days. And he was, I think, probably very correct. He doesn't want us to drop them quickly within a few days. He wants us to stick with them. So you already know my first answer to this question. Continue to will for awareness without judgment. to feel grateful for awareness when you see it, and to continue to have gratitude for your remembrance to will for. These are all things he's taught us in recent messages, and he's saying keep on with these little practices. Don't think you're beyond them yet. All right? I also want you to focus your eyes on yourself through another lens of awareness. And I want you to feel gratitude for what you see there. All right? So you've done this. You're doing great. I want you to keep doing that. But we're going to add something to it now. Okay, so maybe if we were learning piano, the piano teacher would say, you're doing great with your scales. I'm glad you're practicing your scales every day. I can see you're getting better and better at your scales. I want you to continue to do your scales every day. But now we're going to start learning a song too. You see, we're not leaving the basics. We're adding to the basics. So, I also want you to focus your eyes on yourself through another lens of awareness. And I want you to feel gratitude for what you see there. I want you to notice the clarity the two of you are coming to together through your relationship and your conversations. Notice what you are creating, because it is creation. You have spoken of the cyclone of fear and hate. When Laurent and I first came together, you guys may remember that this is what we this is what we experienced. Remember when Laurent and I first came together, it was a cyclone of fear and hate. I mean, really, I think I told you guys that I didn't even know I could hate so much. And Laurent didn't seem very happy, you know, with me either. So it was kind of mutual, you know. He may have had more awareness of his ability to hate than I did, but the hate was there. It was intense. But Spirit wants us to notice what is now happening, because through our willingness, and we're looking at two people who came together and experienced hatred, but they came together in willingness. And we didn't quit. I don't know why. I know the thought crossed my mind. I know the thought crossed his mind. But we didn't quit. Our willingness was bigger, is all I can say. Neither one of us quit. And what Spirit wants us to start to notice now is, look what's starting to happen through that willingness. He says, notice what you are creating, because it is creation. You have spoken of the cyclone of fear and hate, and this is the cyclone you first became aware of together. But now, the two of you are coming together to create another force, an opposite spinning. And this is the cyclone of love. I am giving you help, but you are taking what I have given and creating through it. Do not let your eyes not see this. For in seeing what you create, in recognizing it as creation, you extend that creation further into the mind. So what are we creating? Are we creating clarity? No. We're receiving clarity. So what are we creating? The best answer I can put on it is love. But it's not love in the romantic sense of the word, although, you know, some of that happened at some point. But it's just love in another sense. I can't define it. But coming together through our willingness, which really is love in the first place, and joining through our willingness, and staying with our willingness, and focusing on our willingness, and getting excited about our willingness, created a cyclone of willingness, which is love. That's love. And to be honest, for Laurent and me, based on you know, how difficult our relationship was in the beginning, this is really a testament of how dedicated we were to awakening and how willing we were to be together in this guided relationship and this purpose. And yet we were still at a point where our mind could be distracted by seeing that we weren't compatible, for example, you know, at the level of human. And spirit doesn't want our mind to become become distracted by the idea that we're not compatible. Spirit wants us to see what we're really doing. You know, this relationship isn't about, do you go to bed and get up at the same time? This relationship isn't about, do you like the same kind of food? You know, this relationship isn't about, is one of you more stylish than the other? Is one of you more simple than the other? This relationship's about what you're really doing together. This willingness that's growing bigger and bigger, and other people by this point were getting pulled into it. It wasn't just me and Laurent anymore. Other people were getting pulled into the cyclone of love. There was like this entire group of people on the NTI discussion group that were reading these messages and showing up for our teachings, and everyone was being helped and lifted up as one, you know, as one together. And Spirit says, I want you to look at that. I want you to see what you're really doing. My computer's locking up here. See if my computer's going to continue to cooperate. Okay, good. It is. So again, Spirit said, do not let your eyes not see this. For in seeing what you create, in recognizing it as creation, you extend that creation further into the mind. Remember that all things are ideas. No two things can be different. This comes from previous messages, I believe from the code. Remember that all things are ideas. No two things can be different. And each idea comes from a motive or source. Okay, so these are basic lessons that he's taught us, and he's recalling them to our mind. And then he says, as you look at the ideas that are created through the two of you, do you see also their source? And when you see the source, do you see what you are creating together? Take time to be grateful for this is not a little thing. Much more is happening than may appear to be happening on the surface. Continue in your devotion together. Okay, and then it stops. I'll talk about why it stops there in a moment. But first of all, again, imagine for a moment, you know, Laurent and I, earlier in the relationship, hating each other. You know? Him just hating me so much. Right? And me hating him so much. And yet, we sat down together holding hands and asking Spirit for guidance. You know, the hate may have seemed very big, and it did. But what was bigger in that relationship? If the hate had been biggest, wouldn't there have been fighting, maybe throwing stuff, maybe Laurent leaving and going back to Paris? You know, I never want to see you again, and to this day continuing to talk about each other. If the hate had been bigger, all of that would have happened. Now the hate was big. I like to emphasize it for one reason. I think sometimes when other people go through it, they think their hate is bigger. And I want to say there's no friggin' way that's possible. There's no way that your hate is bigger than the hate Laurent and I experienced. That's the only reason I emphasize it. But somehow, our willingness was even bigger than our hate. And Spirit says, don't you see what the source of that is? Well, you know, NTI Galatians tells us that the source of our willingness is God. And therefore, our willingness comes to us with all of the power of God. So what Holy Spirit is telling us is that what is happening within our relationship is coming from God. He's really telling us that our relationship, because of the purpose we gave it, is very holy ground. And he knows that we're still in a place where we could become distracted. And in fact, I do. Because if you look at this message, he says, continue in your devotion together. And I stopped writing. I stopped listening. Because even though I was going through a period here of becoming more and more fond of Laurent, in fact, even a period of feeling like maybe I was falling in love with him at this time, there was still a resistance in me to him. And I wasn't willing to be devoted. That word, devoted with him, that closed the deal too much. I wanted some space from him. So as soon as Spirit said, continue in your devotion together, I stopped. And notice I'm honest about that. I say, I lost the stream of thought, because Spirit, by the way, comes into my mind as a stream of thought. I lost the stream of thought because of my resistance to the word devotion. And Holy Spirit, and then I said, Holy Spirit, I put my personal resistance aside now and ask that you continue, please. So I was aware of my resistance. I didn't believe it, or I would have ended up just throwing the notebook down and walking away. I was aware of it. I realized it was an obstacle. I realized I didn't want the obstacle. And I put the resistance aside and said, please continue. Spirit says, do not hide your eyes from what you are seeing now. You are mourning the loss of something that you love. Let yourself feel the sadness. It may seem intense at times, but to feel it is to accept your decision. You are letting the personality go. Why didn't I want to become devoted to Laurent? Because there's no way Regina could. The only way I could become devoted to Laurent was to let go of Regina. And that still wasn't something I was sure I wanted to do. So as soon as he asked me to be devoted, since I knew what that meant, I wanted to pull away. And now he's not asking me to deny my love for Regina. He's not asking me to deny my attachment to Regina. He's saying it's okay to be sad about that. It's okay. He's allowing me to accept right where I'm at. And you know why? Because Spirit knows if he gives me time to sit there and be sad and look at Regina, he knows that I'm then going to go on to make the decision to say, okay, I'm ready now, I'll let her go. So he's allowing me this period of mourning. He's allowing me just to be with it. In fact, look at the next paragraph. As the sadness passes, refocus your eyes on the light. See, he knows I'm going to do that. He knows the sadness is a temporary thing. He knows I'm going to come to full willingness to let go of Regina. As the sadness passes, refocus your eyes on the light that the two of you create together. Again, he's not telling me to look into Laurent's blue eyes and fall in love. He's telling me to look at the willingness that is highlighted when our two willingnesses come together and to fall in love with that willingness to awaken. See yourself in this light and realize you are only reaching for you. He's saying that's you. And that light, when your cyclone is cooking and it creates this burst of light in the center, that's you. As I have said before, keep your eyes focused on where you want to go. Through the natural magnetic pull of the heart, you will follow the focused gaze of your eyes. So again, he's not telling me to look at Laurent as a man. You know, he's not telling me to look at Laurent's blue eyes or listen to Laurent's singing voice or notice other characteristics about Laurent that I might fall in love with. He's not telling me to be devoted to Laurent in that way. He's telling me to look at this something very real that is coming out of our joined willingness. That something very real that's coming out of our joined willingness, that he's saying is what you are. Focus on that. Let go of Regina and go for that. Okay, so I will let Laurent finish this next week. Have fun. It's a great message. And bye, everyone.